Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Next edition of Kicking It. Jermaine Jones, good to have you with us.
Hey
former yes, U.S. Sir. Men's National Team midfielder, now coaching USL League One, right? Shout out Central Valley Fuego FC. That's your team.
That's my team.
How's life going as a coach?
I really enjoy it, you know. Even like when I look back, I wanted to, you know, never be a coach or anything, you know. I think we all relate to, like, being on the road so much and then always, you know, focusing on, you know, playing game after game. So
we're
I was
done,
like,
with the lifestyle. The
I was done with the lifestyle. And I, you know, but then it's something, you know, got me back to it. I, you know, I went to Europe to do all the license and all that stuff. And then
TST really.
That was that tournament too. No, it's, you know, it came really down to that. Like I just, you know, went to Europe and looked in more to the coaching side, and then I fell back in love with the player management on the side of coaching.
But what made you go to Europe and do that? Something must have kind of triggered that, no?
Yeah, I started with the U.S. Soccer B license here. And then at one point they told me, like, that, you know, because I wanted to go the road here with the U.S. Soccer Pro and all that stuff, but then they told me you have to do, you know, all the license again if you want to coach in Europe one day. So, and then I said, okay, let me look into it. And then they told me, like, if you do UEFA Pro license, you will be able to coach everywhere.
Your career is so interesting if you look at the places that you've been: Frankfurt, Schalke, Leverkusen, Besiktas, Blackburn, obviously then time at the Revs, the Galaxy, all of that. Do you have fonder memories of national team days with these guys, or is it more so club team days that were the ones that stood out for you?
No, I think it's like with them, you know, it's like different stuff, you know. Like we just talked about it when I went to the small tournament what we played, where Clint called me to come in and play, like, as one of his.
And he came looking, you know, like the Incredible Hulk. You should see him, like, working out all day, you know, every day.
Wait, you were coaching in this or what?
Yeah, I didn't do a good job. Yeah. Let's not talk about that. Yeah, I didn't have my license. You know.
What, this is five-a-side? What is
seven,
this?
Seven, I think it's 77.
I think he was the only coach. He was coaching me, like, Crocs, right? Was it you, Crocs? Like, what's it called? The shoes?
Crocs, yeah.
The Crocs. Crocs, yeah,
yeah,
that's
he was out there, like,
him.
Yeah, but.
Was he aggressive on the sideline?
No, not really. He was chill.
What?
He was chill.
Why did you call Jermaine?
Hawaii, but yeah.
I was the captain.
Clint, why Jermaine? Why did you call Jermaine?
What's up?
Why did you call Jermaine?
Man, you know, he's a great leader. People, you know, respect him. Also, like, the insight he'd be able to give, and it'd just be good to get some of the players that you played with back together again. So it was like him, Eddie Johnson, and, you know, Mo and Charlie couldn't make it. So after their Gotham FC performance, I don't know if they want to come out, but not. It was just good to see former players and hang out, really. That's what it was about, you know, just catching up and, you know, being around the game.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question, man. Like, so when you think back to when you first came to the national team, right? Obviously, you'd had, like, a decorated career playing in Germany, played with the German national team. So when you first got to, like, camp with our national team, like, what were your first impressions, either of just what the environment was, the players individually, the culture, just all in?
You know, a lot of times, Mo, the problem is, like, a lot of people don't really know the reality or the truth why I picked to go play for the U.S., right? People would just go and, like, there's always, like, there's two things. There's, like, oh, he don't had a chance with Germany, and that's why he picked to come play for the U.S., right? And at the time, you guys know, especially, you know, the guys who've been around, my English was not good when I picked to come and play for the U.S. But again, it goes farther back, because in 2000, I would say, around 2002, I played for the World Cup of the U-20s German World Cup. in Argentina. So I was not allowed to, after that, to every time like switch the countries and go to different countries. But I was never, because I grew up without a dad, so I always wanted to figure out what's this missing part of myself, you know? And I was trying to find like what is missing. And I asked so many times to go, even before that, is there a chance to go and play for the US? But I was denied because I played an international tournament with the U-20s, with the German team. And then in 2010, when that opened, I said, I want to figure out where I come from, because I knew that my dad is from America. And the second is like, I was like, maybe there's a chance that my dad can see me play, and then I'll be back in, like, and can build a relationship with him, you know? So
what then— Did that happen?
Not really. It happened a couple of years, then a little bit later, you know? And I was sitting on the table, and I was just like, you know, like the slang you guys talk at the time, like even I don't understand anything, you know? I was just like, man, what's going on? But I felt like kind of like, oh, that's my group, that's my guys. Like, I like that.
You felt, you know, accepted?
Yeah, I felt accepted because, you know, you now play with people that look the same like you. And I, a lot of people don't know, when I was born in Germany, I left then to go to the U.S. and I lived 7 years in the U.S. So I lived in Washington State, Mississippi, Greenwood.
That was with your father, or
with
no?
With my father, yeah.
So your father was American?
Yes, my father was American. And so I had that, there is something going on, but I still, then when my parents separated when I was seven, then I stayed in Germany with my mom. But I always felt like, you know, that something is missing. And when then that call came, or the conversation with Bob, and he told me straight, he's like, look, you play here, like if you pick us, you play, like you will be in there. And I was like, look,
that's crazy, because I've known you. I've known you since what, 2011. I never knew that. Did y'all know that? You knew that?
Did you feel accepted across the board? Because I mean, it was a few weeks ago whenever we had Landon Donovan on the show, and he kind of talked about dual nationals, and he seemed to consider that oftentimes a relationship of convenience, and he felt like that connection that he wanted to see from players to America, to the country, wasn't necessarily there, and he seemed to feel he had a judgment attached to that. Did you feel accepted across the board, or did you feel like to some people you were trying to prove your Americanness or your ability
your
to belong?
Allegiance to the flag.
Yeah, you know, and actually I watched the show, you know, in when I decided to come for this country, I did everything I was asked to. I tried to learn the language. What was not good at the time? I tried to be like, you know, like everybody else who's born and raised here, you know? So in, but then I don't felt like the same, you know, like how you say, appreciated, you know, from what I did, because I was not born here, you know? But I never did anything wrong. So you can doubt, you can say some of the guys, are they appreciating to play for the country and then they're leaving after the World Cup, like what he said? Then I turn it around and say like, are you thinking I get the same appreciation like I would get if I were born, will be born here?
So had you been born here, you think you would have gotten more
100%.
Recognition?
100%. Like, if I can see it, even when I played overseas and I played Champions League, people would be like, oh, that's an American player. But if I play for the national team, I'm a half German guy, you
right.
know? So
yes.
And that's where I would say I have a problem, because now I work with the, we talked about this yesterday a little bit, now working with the youth system, right? And especially when I worked with the U-19s, the majority of kids, their parents are not Americans. They maybe live here now, but or they're adopted and they have different stories, but they connect actually more with me than somebody else, you know? So,
right.
And that's where I'm like looking and say, it's like, why are we putting like where you've been born or where you not be born? If you put everything down and you live the same way the people live here, and you accept the culture and all that stuff, it doesn't matter where you've been born.
What do you feel connected to now?
You know, I always say that I'm half German, and I'm proud to be half German, and I'm proud to be half American, you know? So that's both my roots.
I'm curious like how you like view this current like national team, right? Because not only as a player, but also there's a lot of guys who are dual nationals. There's a lot of guys who are playing in Europe at top clubs. You experienced that, Champions League, Bundesliga, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm just curious like how you view where this team is currently and the potential of this group.
I think the talent we have is ridiculous. It's really good. It's not just with the first team. I think we have, even in the youth, when you see what is in the youth teams, it's unbelievable. We have so much diversity in this country, And I think it's just a small picture you see now with the first team. You know, is there talent? For sure in the first team. Like, you know, now it's the question, like, how can we transfer this into, like, the 2026 World Cup, playing at home? I think that would be an amazing big party, you know. But I think it's, too, like, a lot of credit what the guys get now, especially, like, overseas and all that stuff. I think we have to relate back to the guys like Clint, you know, like, even Claudio, Timmy, like, Boca Negra. This, or you, like, Charlie was there, you know, because if you review it back in the days, the men had not the same respect that how they get it now, especially outside of the U.S., right? Because it was more, oh, the woman's side, you know, they're doing the name for themselves, winning cups and everything. But the men's like, so it was tougher to go to Tottenham or Fulham or Glasgow, you know, in make a name for you there, you know? Where now, I believe, too, they have talent, but still it's different because now it's more marketing behind it. It's like if you have, you know, don't get twisted. Christian is amazing. I think he's a top player. But it makes more sense to get an American guy on your team because it helps you to get to the American market, you know? So, and I think that's something what we have to look into, you know, on the whole roster. But I think if we set it up and we build it out the right way, I think we have a good chance to go far at the World Cup at home.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The appreciation you're talking about, not feeling, you felt that like in the moment as a player, like when you were playing, or you're saying like post-career, you feel like you're not appreciated the same way?
When you see where I played and what I did, you know, I strongly believe if I would be born in the U.S., that I would be, let's say like this,
more
I would be maybe
here.
Opportunities or even like...
Are we talking about opportunities in coaching now?
If you go back, Kate, it's like 2002, if you look at who played already on the biggest stage, I was 18 years old, but I played Bundesliga. Mm. So there's not a lot of Americans, especially my age group,
right,
who did that, you know? But then a lot of guys already like Hall of Famers and everything. Just throw it in there, you know? And I'm not saying, oh, I need that, you know? But it's like, I'm strongly believe if I would be an American, born American, it's like you can sell the whole thing better. Mm. And then I would be like, maybe already a Hall of Famer, maybe like, oh, coaching already way higher because of like, at the end, it's a project you're trying to sell.
I was always impressed with your quality on the ball because everyone can see. Athletic, you're physically gifted, but I was more impressed with your ability to read the game and your technique. How did you not break into that German side? Because you could see in 2014 World Cup, there's no way the Germans can be like, oh, you're not good enough to play with us.
You know, with the German, like a lot of people, you know, just the real story, a lot of people don't know is 2006, I almost made the World Cup with the German team with Klinsmann, you know, so. But I broke my shin. So I had the hairline fracture in 2006. So then I missed that. So I repaired, I came back, and then I went to 2008, 2009. I was on the roster when Germany lost the final against Spain. So I was already in the preseason, everything. I went to Mallorca to do all the stuff with the German team. Then last minute I got cut. because of, you know, there was different stuff. I heard then later on that Balak and Frings, they wanted to have one of their guys, Dimborowski, into it. So he was sick for the whole week. Yogi Löw at the time, he told me that he would take me. But then at the end, he decided to go with him because he was already more with the team and everything. I played everything on a high stage. They don't give me the, you know, the validation. So now we have a country like we, with the U.S. where I looked at it and say, I can help to build and grow something in the sport because, you know, where I'm playing on the club side. So I was like, have a conversation with Bob. And after that meeting, I said, like, look, I want to do it. I want to change. So and that's how I switched.
Was that a special time for you, a good time of your life?
Oh, 100%. You know, I built relationships and you figured out, like, over time, like, really who's, like, who was just a colleague and who's really a friend, you know, so.
Do you have many real friends in football?
You know, Kate, as for me, it's like, I realized that as high you go, it gets lonely, you know? And you have to deal with your own stuff because, like, I would say, like, right now, I'm in peace with a lot of stuff, you know, like with myself. For a long time, I was not because I was always in survivor mode. And I think most of you guys know.
Why was that?
Because you have the backpack of like a lot of people you have to help, you know, and support. So and there's,
you have to be fighting for contracts every year to be able to take care of those people.
Exactly. So and there's
family that you felt responsible for, that type of thing?
Yeah, family, then kids, you know, it's like there's always something where you're just like really like, you know, trying to stay on top on the water, you know, like to keep going, even if like where you feel like I'm tired, I'm injured, I don't want to do it anymore. I need a break, you know, but there's no excuse. There's no time for that. It's just always like the next. And for me, it's too, like in some, especially Clint was somebody, like me and Clint, I knew always he's like a real dude, like real guy. Like you get what you get from Clint. There's no, can I say that, bullshitting around?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so you get it, you know? So in, but then on the field, we were like go against each other, you know? But it was not even about him that I don't like him because now I would say like, I know he would be somebody I can call and he would be there. Even if I don't have the connection with him on the field, like it looked like, because I was in survivor mode, he was in survivor mode. Like we will be more selfish and start like trying to help each other because he has to take care of people where he comes from, I come from. And that's where I say like society sometimes in the sport of soccer push people to be in the survivor mode.
What I always respected about you is if we were gonna go to war, that's who I wanted next to me, a guy like him, because I knew he'd give everything out there. You know, he'll get stuck into the tackles, the quality he'd bring, he could score goals, he could find passes, he played forward, and, you know, in big moments, he never shied away. So that's, you know, we were in survival mode, but we knew that, like, together, if we were successful, that would help us in our career, whether it was for club, team, or whatever.
But my first impression of him
was what?
Was I said, my first impression was
he's
I was
coming
like,
in, he's gonna be playing midfield. You're a midfielder.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's that part too. I said, hold on, wait. On the field, I said, hey, hold on, we don't really shoot. I think we're good at this
position.
We don't
need no more midfielders.
Hey, we're not gonna put him in the center.
No, but my first impression of him, just like when he was actually finally there, I was like, oh, he got money. Because he came in just watch, bop,
dripping.
Fitted, like, I said, oh, shit. Not dripping necessarily, like, in ice and everything, but just, like, he was like, okay, this is different. There's levels to this, you know what I mean? Like, I thought I was doing all right for myself, but he came and I said, oh, okay, all right, well, all right, bet. Okay. I felt like that's the kind of stuff that you need, right? You need competition in every environment you're in. Every environment you're in, because Jermaine came into the team, and now the competition in midfield just gets elevated, right? He's direct competitor. We play the same position. So in my mind, I'm like, all right, bet, I got to be on my shit. Like, I got to make sure I'm doing well at club. When I come into camp, I got to make sure on top of everything. And I never viewed it. It never really had an impact on our relationship, you know? Like, I felt like early days especially, I felt like we were relatively close, you know?
And keep enemies close.
I said, hey, man, you trying to go,
okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Have you found it difficult, or you can maybe talk about the process of having the career that you've had, then saying, I'm committed to becoming a coach, getting your UEFA pro license, which not too many people have, yet you're not given an assistant role with the first team of the U.S. Men's National Team. You're not given a role with the New England Revolution, your former club, or Colorado, or Galaxy, as a first assistant. They made you start from the bottom, it feels like, because no one was giving you that opportunity.
Okay, let me take a sip.
There we go now.
Oh, that's a difficult question, huh?
No, it's like, to be honest, Charlie, if everybody starts at the bottom, I have no problem to start, you know, on the bottom. But of course, there's levels and there's different, you know, situations on different people where you look and you go like, how is that even, why is that possible? Why I have to go this route, you know?
How do you feel about that reputation that you had as being somebody who brought trouble to clubs? Was that ever fair?
I think I would say this, it was fair from the people how they saw me, because I give them that, right? Because what I said before, it started already way back. I grew up what everybody would call, oh, ghetto in Germany and all that stuff, you know? And I was one of the kids with the first tattoos, and I was this new generation what nobody knew, even in Germany. Everybody was like, who's this new kid, you know? Like, and then after me came the Boatengs and like, you know? So, mm-hmm. And it was like the street soccer guys, the gangs, and like that's how they labeled us. But for us, it was good because we had a whole community behind us and everybody supported us. So then for me, it was easy to be like, you guys want the bad boy? I give you guys the bad boy. Mm. Even if I'm maybe not the bad boy, you know? And then like what you guys say, like with New England, I'm somebody always, like if I step into the room, I fight always for the weakest because I was one of the weakest. And if maybe they don't have, you know, and I, even with Charlie, he knows, like when we were in New England, there's small stuff with the food, remember? Like I stepped in and said, like, I'll pay the food if you guys don't pay them, give them breakfast, I will pay the breakfast for the team and stuff like that, you know? So
next you know, we got breakfast every morning.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know,
so there was no breakfast provided for the team?
No, never. You know?
And you felt like that was something that belonged in a team environment.
It was, like, because, like, I don't want it to split between us that they're thinking, because I was allowed to go to the patrons and get breakfast where they had a chef and everything, you know? But then my team is sitting there and they're having
starving.
They have the Kellogg's, like, the box, like, you know?
We got to delay breakfast about another 15 minutes.
He said, that's steak and eggs. Oh,
no. I came back. You know what happened? I came back from the patrons. I had food, and then I see Charlie. He sits with the mini box from Kellogg's, you know?
Yeah, get out of here.
Get them frosted flakes. Charlie's over there starving.
You know what I'm saying?
He's trying to ration his food.
I was like, nah, you're not doing that. You're
going to eat them. We go eat them Fruit Loops.
I said, can you go back and get a plate of eggs?
No, but that's like, you know, and like, and people don't realize, like, I always would say, like, even on the field, I was like solving problem, you know, like,
problems, yeah.
You know, so the position I played is that position. Mm. Like with Clint, we knocked heads a lot of times, but if it comes down to the World Cup, I would be like, I don't care. You stay in the front and score goals. Like, I will run for you. I will figure this out, you know? So, but then it's like, if you will attack the weakest, I will speak up. And I would say like, oh, I don't like this, or this has to be changed, or this has to be changed. Because I strongly believe, like, you know, everybody should be treated the same way. And if I have a good voice to say that, and it's the reality, people say, oh, he's negative, but everybody listens still when I say something. The moment I show up, people go like, that will be fun. Let's see what he has to say.
Okay, so what about what you have shared about your personal life on social media, on Instagram? Do you ever feel like that has impacted the opportunities that you've got? Because I think anyone who's followed you on social media for a period of time would be aware that you've had tumultuous periods of time in your personal life, right? And you were open about that. Do you have any regrets about how much you shared on Instagram at any point?
Not really, you know, because at the end, it's just, that's the facade, right? That we share only the nice and the good stuff.
Yes.
You know, and I strongly believe there's like a lot of people that look at your stuff and you can help them in different ways, you know, mm-hmm. And sharing stuff, Of course, there was moments where I went really through pain, you know, and I think you're talking about the divorce and all that stuff, right? So it was never a good thing. And I said this before the show, like, there was moments where I was, like, in the darkness. Like, I was alone, like, and I was trying to figure out what's life about. But I strongly believe people look at me and go, like, oh, he's a professional player. He has not that issues. He has not. But, yes, I had, you know. Mm-hmm. I really went. I felt like, you know, I'm losing my family and all that stuff. So there's two options. You sit in the darkness and you go alone through it, or you say, you know what? I showed you the good when I scored the goals and everything, but now why should I show you not really what? I'm human, you know, and I'm going through the same issues you guys go. And that's why I put it out and showed it, you know, that people understand, like, you know, and that's, I think, is our responsibilities as, you know, people in the public to not only show, like, oh, the sunrise and all is nice and good. It's like, no, show even, you know, if you, like, in pain or you are going through stuff, because there's a lot of people, you know, who need that, you know?
I think when you say that, I understand where you're coming from. But I think at times, especially the people that are looking for ammunition or looking for proof or evidence to say, ah, I don't know if we can trust Jermaine.
You're arming them.
You're giving them the ability to use that against you. And I know you. You're an emotional guy, like myself. You get emotional, you get worked up, and you want to get it. Instead of maybe taking a second and saying, I could put this out, but I have to frame it a different way. And I think that was always sometimes my issue too, when I get really worked up or I'm emotional, I don't frame what I'd like to say in a different way or a better way so that it can't be used against you.
Yeah, but it's like, then for me, it's like, if I look at it and I go, let's say you frame something the same way, like how you think it and you want to let it out, right? I think you should do that, you know, because it's not about, like, if then the other people judge you on that, then that's their fault. You know, because if you, like, as honest as possible and you have real friends, you know what they do? They call you and say, you're good. What's going on? You know, if you have then people who judge you on that, especially on the weakest time, like where you're going really through pain, and they're like, oh, he's this and he's doing that. You don't even want to deal with those people.
No, but you know how life works.
But that's life. But it's like in general, like even like if you look at social media, for me, social media, it's a tool. It's a tool. You know, and it's like, and me, Clint talked about this before. It's like a lot of stuff is like now we're looking at this stuff and it becomes like even younger. They're creating followers, no more leaders. And that's social media, right? So, and that's just like, I consider myself like, I'm not a follower. Like, I'm going against the thing. If I see something, I say it. If I feel the way, I say it. If you have a problem, don't use it against me. Stand in front of me, have a discussion about it. The same as was on the field. I'm not shying away from anybody. If you step on the field with me, we have a battle and we figure this out. And that's just, for me, it's like, that's why I said, like, why I appreciated Clint the most, because he's like an honest guy. Like, he has, you get what you get, you know? And a lot of people don't like that.
Did you ever get Clint mad when you were playing?
Yeah.
No. Hey, but you feel what he's saying? I ain't feeling him.
What did you do to get him mad?
Scream at him to
I
come
saw,
back.
I saw that brewing.
To come back, what, to track
yeah,
back?
Yeah, to track back and like running
I
back.
Saw that brewing.
Then he don't like that. If you tell him like come back, he don't like it at all. He will. He will go like, what up, bro? What up, bro? Like, what?
He just want to fight somebody. Like,
I'll come back.
And then it's like, shirt goes flying. Like, let's go, bro. Like, whoa. Like,
be careful. Yeah, whatever.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Would you get married again?
Yeah. I think marriage is something beautiful.
So yeah. You still believe in it?
Yeah, I believe in it. I think it's something beautiful, you know? I think it's too that there's in life, there's a pathway that, you know, sometimes you split in that phase of splitting is painful, you know? Because let's say with my ex-wife, I was married 18 years, you know, we have five kids. And there's pain, you know, pain with it. But I would not say like, oh, it was just pain or a whole relationship. We had a good time. We had a good run and everything. So I appreciate her, you know, she's a good mom and everything. And there's values on that, you know? So, and I think if you find somebody, you can be happy. You can, you definitely, I will have married again.
When they're talking about helping so many kids and professional, current professionals, what would you say was the lowest point for you that you had to overcome, and how'd you do it? And then what would be your highest point?
My lowest point, it was a time, you know, what Kate already touched on was with the divorce and everything, you know, because, you know, when you grow up without a dad, you always don't want to fail your kids to that dad grew up without a dad, you know? So, and for me to realize that it's the cut, I started like, you know, like going more in the dark, you know, going more like finding like escape with like having the drinks, going out and trying to get this sight noise gone, because I felt like I felt my family as a dad, as a husband, you know, and all that was, I think that came like a really, really deep point in my life, you know. In some of the guys, you know, reach out and like ask me like, you good? I think you were reaching out too and asking like, how you doing? Is everything good and everything, you know? But if you at the darkest point of your life, because I've been since 16, I'll be the head of a family, right? So I took care of all my family, you know? So, and I had never like really a person I can go through to talk about stuff. So I will internally like do it with myself and work on stuff. But then it's just like, you know, at one point you sit in this darkness and you go like, man, what do you want to do? Like, what's next, you know? And then and it came a point where I was sitting at home and I was like, man, nobody wants to take me as a coach, you know? I do interviews, I do all this stuff, and it doesn't work. So then I was sitting at home and I was like, I prayed and I was like, God, like, I don't want to move to the east side. I want to be close. I'm still going through the divorce. I want to see with my kids and everything. Please, can you help me? I want to figure out something, like, you know, I want to coach. I think I have, you know, quality in that and everything. And then next day, I talked with Frank Yellop, who actually was the coach who wanted to bring me to Chicago back in the days after the World Cup, you know?
Because you almost went to Chicago instead of the Revolution, right?
Yeah. So, and then he was in Monterey. So in we start talking, and I said to him, like, is it maybe a chance to come on your coaching side and do something? He's like, without a doubt, like, yeah, like, if you want to come, like, stop by, you know? And I was like, okay, like, that's cool. So I talked with my agent about it, and so we, like, started talking. And then Frank calls back and says, they're just right now, like, a team just fired their coach in Fresno. Like, are you would be interested to do it? And so for me, it was like, that's the signal of, like, God, give me that. Like,
you felt like that was an answered prayer?
Yeah, that's, like, 3 hours away. I can be still with my kids. My kids can come. It's the first things, opportunity to build something out and everything. So, and I strongly believe that was my highest thing. That's why I say I feel so much in peace now, because I felt back I have a purpose, you know, to coach this young man, like, where, you know, and that's where I'm, like, right now. That's why I'm enjoying it so much. And people go, like, but you don't feel like that's unfair that you with the League One and everything? And I'm, like,
I'm grateful for the opportunity. No, that's,
I'm grateful, man. God put that in front of me to, you know, to make my first work over there, and I want to do it just good.
You're going to change people's lives.
You know, there's people that come in your life in the locker room, and, you know, you become brothers, you become family. I remember when you came to the Revs, you spent Thanksgiving, your first Thanksgiving, with my family. And, you know, I always looked at you as, like, you know, you were like a brother, you were blood. So I wanted to help you in that moment, and to see you where you are now, like, you look happy, you look fresh, you don't look like you're holding any resentment. You know, it feels like you have moved on. So it's great to see you like this.
I never had a person to be like, can you help me with this? I'm down or whatever. So I had to always figure it out. And I hope that it would never come to a point that I hit the fan completely. But then I think with the divorce, because everybody knows me, I'm like a dad. I love my kids, you know, so. And when this all played in, I was like, why am I even here? Like, why am I here? Like, I lost right now. Like,
I'm failing at this, and this matters more than anything else, so, right?
You know, so in I was like, damn, like, with all respect, I love my dad and everything, but I'm like my dad, you know? You know, it's my own fault, like.
You talked about there were certain things when you were in your family you took for granted, but now that because you spent time not being able to see your kids as much, how much more you, like, you appreciate those moments now. You talked about those special moments.
Yeah, I think it's important, you know? It's like, a lot of us, it's like similar, I think the family, kids is more important, but if it's similar to, if you look at stuff and you go, how we, when we play, we take it for granted. Like, we playing and we thinking that that's for forever, you know? Till it really comes to the day you put the shoes up and then you're like, oh, I have to go play indoor again. Because I don't want it to believe it, like, you know?
When I saw you play indoor, I was like, oh,
I said, what is this?
my boy going through it. That, hey, shoot, my boy going through it.
He said it's deeper than we thought.
No, but it's
I
like,
said, man, he wants to get back and land it or something, man. He wants to slide tackle him or something.
But, you know, it is just like, you don't want to let it go because you're so in, you know, the moment.
Was it the love for the game, or was it that, because I think for a lot of athletes, what they go through is that their identity is so in kind of intertwined, right? With me, I'm a player, that's who I am. And when you take that away, you have to figure out who you are now and why, what's your value now, right?
I think it's the value is everything. Like I always say it's like a drug. Like if you walk out of this tunnel and there's 60,000 every weekend, you walk into a restaurant, people know you don't need the reservation. Like, you're like, it's the reality. That's the truth. And now from one day to the next, you have to call to get a table.
You know? Hey, Jermaine Jones.
Oh. You know? No, but that's like, there's lives changed. Like, in take away the table and everything. But it's like, if you go in now you don't have the fans anymore, the stadium and all that stuff. Something is missing in your side. Mm. And for me, was that when I put it away, I was like, man, that's crazy. Like, how can I, what is next? Like, what I'm doing? And then you're searching for, like, that same, you know, that same feeling.
What kind of gives you that rush now?
Exactly.
In life?
You know,
and coaching is for you. That's what gives you that rush.
And coaching is now for me giving that rush. But to go back to Clint's thing, was like the moments, right? That's the moments you see for granted, you take for granted because till it's done. And the same is like with children. When you have children, that was our conversation before, is you're taking it for granted to wake up and see them, they're coming out and they're like, daddy, daddy, or you come like, for granted. So, but you're missing the small moments where you don't think about. But if you will be attached from them, like I was attached almost 3 years for my kids, right?
Wow.
So I like look back and I'm like, man, I did actually so much wrong on different stuff. Where my sons, they needed a hug. They needed not the dad because like, what we talk, like, oh, to the boys, like, come on, man up, let's do this. And I reflected on all this stuff and be like, damn it, like, I missed the moment to give him the hug. I missed to tell her that I love her, like, and so now I changed. So I have a group chat now with my kids. You know, I tell them, I text them, I say, like, you special, it's your special day today, like, go and get it, like, you know, and stuff like that. And because at the end, I'm not coaching them, you know? I coach other people, but there I have to be the father.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
How much did that impact, like, you as a coach now, right? Because so there's so many parallels, especially when you're coaching, like, younger kids, for example. There's parallels that you can draw between being a parent and just being able to assess, like you just said, what the kid needs in the moment. The same can be applied to a player, right? Yeah. Not every player needs to be coached the same way. All four of us might need different approaches for a message to land. So how much does that impact how you go about, you know, because you said you like the man management part of coaching. You prefer or you enjoy that. That's what gives you a rush. So how much does that impact that for you?
I think it's a lot. Like, if I look at it in I focused a lot on the player management side because I looked and I said, it's interesting if you look at the whole thing, it's like every single one of you guys became a leader in his family, right? Because even your mom and dad, they become fans. because you most of the time is like people who play the game. Like, you have a mom and dad, but they will not tell you anymore what to do because you may be taking care of everything. So for them to step in and say, so now you're losing the mom
power
and
dynamic
dad
shifts, right?
To situation where you have people where you cut, because you become the leader. You make the most money, you do this. So in that's why I believe in soccer is a lot of people, young men, they're lost in that phase. And that's why the club, the Mourinho, the coaches who maybe not even focus anymore on the coaching that much on the field, but the management of the player become so good, because I would not say they become kind of a father figure. I have stuff in my coaching things where I ask the player, you know, are you raised by a single mom or single dad? Like, are you the oldest from your, you know, you have siblings, you're the oldest. Like, what's your goals and stuff? So that I understand a little bit where they're coming from, because you have to coach everybody different. So if you grew up without a dad, just a mom, that means if I scream at you, you may be screaming back to me, because you never had that father figure, so you feel like I'm attacking you. So in all that ways, like, I look at different stuff where, of course, I reflect on my own career to see, like, okay, this is what I went through, and now I'm taking it into coaching.
Well, what about your relationships with the U.S. men's national team coaches that you had? So Bob Bradley, Jürgen Klinsmann,
Bruce
Arena. How would you categorize those relationships, player, coach? Was there a lot of positive you took from that? Was there negative that you took? Whoa.
You know, like what Clint said.
What did Clint say?
What so, I'll say this time.
Like, no, if you get older, you reflect and you look at stuff different.
Yes.
You know, so back in the days, and I tell you, I'm really grateful for Bob, and Bob was, you know, giving me an opportunity for the U.S. And I think he coached at the time different. It was more like players were able to do and have free links, you know, like, there was not really curfews. They were like, player management was like, you guys figure this out. I trust you, step uh-huh. over the line. Then Jürgen was somebody who was completely come in. And I said, when I knew that he come in, I said to everybody, now the German side would come.
Get ready.
He wants full control.
He wants full control, but he would give us everything to develop to the next stage from uh-huh. what he has, you know? And then with Bruce, you know, I had just really genuine camp with Bruce. And then we go back of like, I was a player, I was a competitor, and he told me like, oh, you will not play, and you will not that. And I told him straight up, like, let me compete, you know? And when he said, like, he don't think that I'm better than the guys, I said, he's one of the worstest coaches I had at the time. You know? No, but that's just, but then going back on that is like, of course, that was in the moment in Bruce's notice, because I talked with him in, you know, and I said like, that was in the moment of hurt and all that stuff, you know? I think Bruce already, he showed his quality in MLS and everything. So, but I, in general, from all my coaches I had in my career, there was good coaches, but everybody, I learned something. And now, especially going into coaching, I'm not a person that I say, oh, I want to be this guy, I want this. I want to be my own individual, but I'm stealing stuff from people where I think, like, that helped me, that doesn't help me. This helped me, you know? So, and that's what I'm doing right now.
But the approach that you're describing, right, like, I think I fully appreciate it, and I think it's valuable and it's important, because every player, different background, and how you reach them is different. So it's good that you're aware of that and cognizant of that and trying to apply it. Is it not like, do you have enough time to do all that? You know what I'm saying?
Because with every individual player.
Yeah, like right. between trying to develop a philosophy, trying to work in tactics for your team, a system, and then managing each individual game, how do you have the time to like now get to know each individual player on that kind of level? Because I mean, I feel like, I think back to all the coaches I had, do I feel like every single one of them, or do I feel like all of them knew me in depth like that? Nah. I think they knew certain things that knew that made me tick.
But maybe they didn't think they needed to do that for you.
They said, mode 101?
I don't even know this kid.
But my question is like, how do you feel like that's, like it's possible to really manage these 30 players and get to know each of them on that kind of level to where it makes the group stronger, obviously.
I think I believe it is possible, you know? it just takes a lot of more work for yourself, you know, but it's possible. Like, if I look at my thing, I started by complete, I cut the whole team. I, you know, all the players who were there, I said, like, I took only 3 players. And I said, everybody else has to go. Like,
you canceled contracts?
Like, most of the guys who had options and everything, we denied everything. I said, I don't want anybody.
Just because from a playing standpoint?
Yeah, I don't like
it. You wanted your own people.
Yeah, I said, clearly they had the other coach fired, so they would get me fired too. So I don't need that. Like,
he said, nah, you know? This ain't working.
No, it is not. Like, it's pretty simple. If you're last position, you're not winning games. Something is wrong. So that means most of the time, they're all professionals. So if you look at the team, you say something is in the team has to be a problem, you know? So, and I don't want to go in there and try to fix that because already I'm now behind to focus on the individual players because
I have to
figure out on all the other stuff. So, okay, you know what? Let's make a plan. Get rid of all the guys. We don't need them. Let's figure out who we get.
Well, you now, kept 3, right?
4 guys.
So why keep those 4?
Because they were under contract.
So you had to.
They're watching this like, they know they on the chopping block.
My hand was forced.
They know they on the chopping block. They watching this show, they know the chopping block.
Yeah, but it's like, to be honest, like when I had the conversation with them, I knew they're on the contract. But I said, you guys can see that as a second chance.
Yeah.
You know, because I will bring my luggage. I bring my people. And I will bring guys where I know they run through fire for me because I give them an opportunity. And they're seeing me, and I say to every player, I say, see me as an update. Like, it's the same, like you have your phone, it's a good quality, every time an update comes, it gets better. So, and I'll be honest to them, I say, let's see it this way. I'm here to help you.
Do you have any regrets?
On what?
Just life.
On life? I regret, you know, when I look at it, I always say what I said before is like through my career I had to I sold somebody who actually wasn't who I not been, you know? Because the close people to me they know who I am. But then a lot of people don't know who I am. And I would say like I'm more like what I said before, I'm quiet and I joke around but I don't need to be in the middle or something. But then on the field I'm complete the opposite. Like I can be screaming, I can go crazy. And I think sometimes I look and I regret that, you know, because now I see it when I got into coaching, I had to go to a lot of people, shake hands and be like, I'm sorry what I said or like,
bend
you know. Because people maybe don't grow up like me, so they don't, like, let's
they
say-
They can't deal with it, yeah. Like me and you yes, cussing like, each other out, but then
exactly.
We're cool afterwards.
You know, so me and him, we go crazy against each other, yeah. And then, but-
That's how I was raised, though. That's how I dealt with my family and, you know what I'm saying? Like.
Right.
My friends, that's what we, that's how we,
I hear you.
But that's how we knew. But that's the real thing, you know? So and I regret that maybe I showed a different who I am in front of people to help my elevation on the playing side, what damaged me on the long run at the end, because now I'm sitting across from people and people go like,
who have a perception of you.
Yeah, and they look at me as the bad guy, like, oh, he's crazy. He say this, like, oh, we have to be careful. Like, what is he doing? And I'm like, and then after a little bit, they're like, actually, he's actually really quiet. Like,
he's not that crazy. He's crazy, but he ain't that.
Yeah. You know? No, you know? But a little bit crazy is always
crazy,
good. You know? No, but it's like the point is like, you know what I tell you, kid. Special them.
Oh,
right?
Here we go. Yes.
Special them. There. They think the same what I think, a lot of times.
Uh-huh.
But I say it, mm-hmm. They keep it for themselves. That's the difference.
That's fair.
I'm not going to disagree.
You know? That's why they have jobs. I don't
Man, Jermaine, this was fun. I appreciate you. This was cool. Thank you for sitting with us.
Thanks for having me.
We wish you all the very best. I really hope you do get, you know, bigger and bigger opportunities and really get to show people who you are.
It will.
So in the beginning, when
you bring back the dreads.
When you get the biggest
the
job, I'll be ready for an assistant role.
Oh, now you want an assistant role.
when he's there at the top.
Oh, hey, at the top, you want to come. Let me do the work.
No. Hey, if you need it, if you need a kit, man, he got it.
Tell him he can join your team if he gets a necktie and dreads.
I give you a hug. It's good to see you, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, appreciate you.
original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount Plus.